Last weekend, we were sitting at dinner with my parents. And as we were talking, my mom mentioned that the house that I grew up in was for sale. When we bought that house, when it rained, the rain dripped down the walls of the living room. It had been built in 1938. And we owned that house from the time I was 5 until the summer that I was finishing my sophomore year in college. We didn't live in it full time that whole time, but most of the time we would go back in the summers because that was the town my dad's whole family was from. That was hometown, and that was kind of home base for me growing up. We refinished the woodwork. We sheetrocked every room. Our family, instead of going on vacations, went home and renovated the house. There were lots of good memories there. Lots of hours of scraping woodwork with my mom and talking. Wonderful memories. And so, hearing that it was on the market, we sort of started saying, we should buy it. You know, we should go back home. But it's been more than 20 years since we sold it. And Mom pointed out that it probably isn't just like we left it anymore. And we'd probably have to renovate it all over again. And I'm sure that my room does not have that beautiful cream with rose wallpaper that I picked out for it when I was in 6th grade. Yet there is this longing to go home and it be home again. But it's not home. It never is, because it isn't the same, and because you aren't the same. In the scripture we read this morning, Jesus is back home. He'd been gone a while. We don't know how long, but he'd been baptized and then driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 long days of temptation, and then when he left there, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he had changed. He began preaching in synagogues all over Galilee, and everyone who had heard him preach had nothing to say but praise. And then he returns home to Nazareth, not the same as he had left. And on the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue where he had grown up, just as was his custom, which means every Sabbath day he had gone to synagogue growing up. It was an exciting homecoming. They were so proud, one of their own, and worship began. Now, in the synagogues, there was a chazan, a cantor, who began the worship service by leading the congregation in prayer. And then the chazan would choose a respected adult male there in the congregation to be the one who would read the scroll and interpret the scripture, to be the teacher. And if there was a visiting rabbi, a visiting teacher, then he was normally invited to be the one who read the scripture and to teach. And Chris told me that at this point I should sit down and have Beau finish the sermon, but I won't do that. The chazan asked Jesus to come and to read the scripture that day in the synagogue and to teach. Now, the person who is going to teach the scripture is the person who gets to pick the scripture, because there was an lectionary and they didn't read straight through the scriptures. So Jesus chose to read this passage from Isaiah. He began, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I'm not the same person that I was when I left here. "Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It's the Jubilee year. All will be forgiven. And the congregation was oh so proud. Heads were nodding. Faces were smiling. He rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the Chazan to put away, and he sat down, because that's what they did when they were ready to teach. The rabbi would sit down, and all eyes were fixed on him. Today, he said, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, the whispers that went through the crowd were like a tsunami. I mean, it just grew and grew and grew. The energy was frenetic. Is this not Joseph's son? This is terrific. Because you know, it's the year of the Lord's favor, he said. Such grace, such good news. Now, see, here's the thing. It wasn't just hometown pride that swelled. It was expectation. Expectation that they knew him best. He's Joseph's son, which means we're his kinfolk. We're his church family. And as his family and his friends and his church family, his hometown, this is good news for us. No more poverty. We're going to be rich. Good news. No more captivity. We're going to be rulers. No more blindness. We're going to be healthy. The Lord's favor is a jubilee year. All of our debts are going to be forgiven. We're going to owe nobody anything. And Jesus says to them, doubtless, you're going to quote to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And you'll say to me, do here in your hometown the things that you heard I did in Capernaum. Jesus knows why they are so passionate in their reaction to his reading of scripture and his saying that it's fulfilled in their hearing. It's not because they are excited about what's going to happen through Jesus for the world. It's because they're excited for themselves. No doubt you'll ask me to heal my hometown and do here the things that I've done other places. But Jesus says, the works that I do are not for those who are close to me. You've been waiting for Elijah to return. But remember Elijah? Jesus says, during the time of Elijah, there were a lot of widows in Israel. There was severe famine over the whole land. But Elijah was sent to one widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And remember Elisha? During the time of the prophet Elisha, there was leprosy everywhere. It was a major problem in Israel. And none of them were cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. And Luke tells us at this, they've had enough. They got up and they drove him out, and they drove him out of town all the way ready to stone him. They were done. And it says Jesus just sort of meandered back into the crowd and blended in and walked through and left. He went on his way. Nothing had really changed since Isaiah had spoken the words that Jesus read in the synagogue that day. Not in their hearts. It was the same thing that Isaiah was prophesying to Israel. They were saying, why do we come to worship week after week after week, and we fast and we pray and we humble ourselves, and yet we feel so far away? Why don't you answer loudly, God, with the things that we've been asking for? We seek you, God. Where are you? The people in Nazareth had that same attitude in their hearts. Just like the Israelites in Isaiah's day, they were focused on themselves. What's in it for me? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You're going to make me rich. You're going to make me a ruler. You're going to make me debt free. I love how Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor phrases God's response in Isaiah. It is not I who have forsaken you, God says to the people, but you who have forsaken me. If you cannot hear me, it is because you have strayed far from my voice. It is not I who am ignoring you, but you who are ignoring me. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked and cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. This is why the congregation in Nazareth gets mad at Jesus. They are his kin. Is this not the son of Joseph? He is part of them. And they expect some friends and family only special rewards. And he quotes Isaiah, who says that the hungry and the homeless and the naked and the oppressed, they are your kin. He declares that he's that kind of Messiah. Isaiah said, when these folks are your kin, then, says God, when you call, I will answer. And you shall cry for help, and God will say, here I am. Has anything changed today? If it didn't change from Isaiah to Jesus' time in Nazareth, has anything changed today? Not when we come to worship and we pray nice words and then we leave and we don't do any of them. Not when we think about Lent is coming up and I need to think of something to give up for Lent. What could I give up that I won't miss too much? I hope that'll bring me closer to God. And not when we hide ourselves from our own kin. Our brothers and our sisters in Christ who are hungry, who are homeless, who are in need, who are oppressed by injustice. Not when we're excited by Jesus' teaching for us, but irritated when we realize it's for them too. But Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's the good news. Today, January 24th, 2016. Today, together we affirmed that the Holy Spirit binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. We said that together this morning. Today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, upon Farmington Presbyterian Church, upon you, upon me, because God has anointed us to give good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind. To let the oppressed go free, to proclaim God's love and forgiveness to people who never thought they were worth it. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing when you and I stand beside one of them, whoever them is, and they are one of us. A brother, a sister. And we look them in the eyes and say, here I am. When we do, God says to us, here I am. Welcome home, child. Welcome home. In the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.